Blog Talk Radio.
Of the show. So I'm real happy to be with you today, just on the heels of the lunar eclipse that we had last night. Depending on your time zone, it was 9:12 p.m. here on the West Coast, but it could be, you know, somewhere in the middle of the night wherever you are. Wherever you are, we always feel eclipses on some deep level, even if we don't know exactly in our minds what it's all about. The eclipses, which happen in seasons, roughly 6 months opposite each other, and also come in a sign package of two opposed signs for a year and a half, 2 years, they are the full moons and the new moons on steroids. They are the big internal shifts that we receive from the energies of the sun and the moon in order to shift life in the direction that is in alignment with our soul's path. And even though that's fundamentally something that is good, although I hate to use the words good and bad, but you know, we on a deeper level, it's something that's in alignment with us. It's not always easy. And we can certainly think of these last 2 years where we have had eclipses in the signs of Leo and Aquarius as some tumultuous years with some major pushes internally, personally, as well as a collective. So in case you missed my show last week or all the people who are talking about eclipses, I just want to take a moment to review that last night, this eclipse is a lunar eclipse, is a completion or a culmination. And although it's a great idea to do a meditation or a ritual at the time of an eclipse to channel and harness that energy in a co-creative way, you can still do it now. If you missed it, it's not technically too late. We are still in the energy of the full moon. The sun right now is at a little over 1 degree of Aquarius. So we've just headed into the month when the sun is in the sign of Aquarius, indicating that on that solar choice level, we're all feeling a vibration that asks us to look at freedom, authenticity, liberation, being unique and accountable to ourselves. And maybe a little less concerned about what we're supposed to do, all the shoulds and shouldn'ts of life, which might have been a little bit more in your mind over the last month while the sun was in Capricorn. And of course, we have been having a lot of Capricorn activity for this past year, and definitely in the month of January so far. But now things are starting to lighten up and starting to shift into this freer spirit energy that we feel with Aquarius. And then on the moon level, the moon is still in Leo. The actual lunar eclipse yesterday was a little under 1 degree. Sun in Aquarius, moon in Leo. A lunar eclipse is a full moon, and a full moon is the harvest time. The full moon is the point to say, yes, I've done what I was setting out to do, and there are parts of what that task was that I now release, I let go, And at the moment after you've had the full moon, and you're moving into the few days afterwards, these are very potent days, still with this possibility of accomplishment and culmination. You see that a lot with people who are born under the influence of the full moon. And these are people who are able to accomplish things normally fairly easily. And of course, other aspects in the chart may also indicate other areas where there's work to be done. But, you know, generally speaking, full moon people seem to have an ease in bringing to fruition the things that they're working on. The moon in Leo indicates that our emotional energies are in the theme or the vibration of creativity and expression, certain playful, loyal, maybe even dramatic energy. And in terms of the lunar eclipse, as I talked about last week, the sun in Aquarius asks us to step into our authentic role and be part of the community of human beings. And I'll leave out the animals, okay? They're talking to you. They're like, okay, yeah, be part of the community of all sentient beings. But the Leo moon, if we're talking about the negative habit patterns that can sometimes be engaged with Leo, it can be issues of ego, image, being kind of demanding. There's a very sort of personality-based energy that is, where it's like it's all about me, can be the Leo. And some of us need to step into that more. I'm not meaning to shame Leo or say anything is bad about Leo. Every sign has its positive, evolved qualities, what we're aiming for. It has its negatives, its traps, its habit patterns, and everything in between. But when we're looking at it from the perspective of this eclipse, we tend to err on the side of saying, what is it about you and your engagement with Leo that might be tending toward the ego and the personal and the entitlement that you need to let go of so that you can be free? Remember, there's that expression, you know, do you want to be right or do you want to be free? And lots of times when we're in conflict, that's a very, very good expression to bring into awareness. Because when we stand on our holy ground and insist that we have all of the answers and it's all about us and we're totally right and everybody's wrong, we're not free. So for this next month with the sun in the sign of Aquarius, I encourage you to have that as your mantra. How can you be more free in your life? How can you be authentic to yourself? How can you make choices that allow you a little bit of this? And I know that at the first of the year, many of us are called toward setting up intentions and New Year's resolutions and charting out the year for ourselves. And I'll just say I taught my annual first of the year class yesterday. It was supposed to be a couple of weeks ago, but I succumbed to that terrible flu that was going around. For the first time in 35 years of doing this work and teaching, I actually canceled the class and rescheduled it. And the class was called 2019, the Year Ahead, and it's something that I do every year in person here in Emeryville. And if you're interested in that, if you'd like to have a forecast for the whole year and also align your intentions with that, you can go to my website, ktaylor.com, and under the learning drop-down, go to the calendar and you'll see that 2019, the year ahead, you can still purchase the recordings and receive the PDF handout and the recordings of that 3-hour class. So you know, in that, you know, what I do with that first of the year class, kind of in alignment with what we're kind of set up culturally to do, is to review where you've been for the past year and look at where you wish to go in the upcoming year. And I like to do that in concert with what are the astrological energies. And for the year, and definitely for January, we had a lot of Capricorn energy. And the Capricorn asks us to slow down and look at what our true essential long-term goals are. Connect into our vision, what we are mastering. At the highest levels, Capricorn asks us to create something that is really a great work. But year to year, the accomplishment goals can be as simple as creating more balance or taking some trainings you want to take, or, you know, who knows what your personal agenda is for the year. But knowing what your agenda is and setting forth the steps to do that in alignment with receptivity. It's 11:11 a.m. here right now. I just want to say that I wanted to start my podcast every day at 11:11 because I love that master number. I'll just honor this moment and the energy coming through that we're here at this time period on this planet to be messengers of light. And that's the energy of 11. 1 and 1 equals 2. The master number, when we get two of them together, it's extra powerful. I know many of you call me and ask me about this. The numbers that you see recurrently, 11:11, 333, 44, 88. So when you see those numbers, it's a good idea to look at them, take that energy in. I do believe that these numbers are part of the rewiring of our consciousness. And so back to talking a little bit about the Capricorn, it's great to have a list of things to do. It's great to consider what you're accomplishing and the steps needed to get there. And it also needs to be balanced with the heart. The opposite sign to Capricorn is Cancer. And Cancer is about unconditional love. It's the sweetness. It is the nurturing and the caretaking. And so as you consider what it is you wish for in a given year, a given month, whatever time period you're working with, balancing the accomplishment with the vibration and the needs of the heart center, that's a very important aspect to bring in. And additionally, our goals and agenda, our wish list for the year, our accomplishment and mastery, needs to be connected with the higher frequency spiritual energy. And for this, I look to Neptune. And we have Neptune in Pisces for many, many years. It's right in the middle. And I want to say that although many astrologers will think about a transpersonal planet does not impact the planets that it is transiting until it's a couple of degrees away, I feel that for those of us who are sensitive, we feel the transits many degrees away. We feel the essence of Pluto coming, and oh my goodness, you know, what's going to happen? It can evoke the fear energy of making a big karmic error where we don't go deep enough to come fully into our power. With the Neptune, though, I want to say that I feel Neptune is so diffuse, so big with its spiritual, unconditional, blissful, intuitive energy, that those of us who are sensitive, who have virtually any planets in Pisces, are feeling it now. I feel like its range is spreading. Now, if your Pisces planets are in the middle degrees, let's say anywhere from 5 to 8 degrees until 2023, that's a big spread. you're feeling it. If you're really tight, if your Pisces planets are 12 to 16, you're in the mist. You're definitely in the Thule fog. You're getting a huge download of spiritual mystical energy, and also you can't see your way out of it. And you need to know in a Neptune transit that that's what's going on. You simply must trust what's arising, surrender to the experiences, and know that you can't figure things out rationally during this time. But I'm going to say that to all of you who have any planets in Pisces, be aware that this particular moment is filled, this particular moment, this particular whole year is filled with this spiritual capacity. And if you don't find a way to integrate it in a healthy way, it will draw you into addictions and dependencies and numbing, you know, whatever your thing is. It can be cupcakes, but the feeling of overwhelm can be a little bit too much. And also the connection, if you're strongly Piscean, the connection to the pain in the collective unconscious right now can be very, very difficult to bear. And so taking charge of the spiritual practice in your own life day to day will be very helpful in navigating this time. It can be as simple as, you know, getting out in nature and taking walks. Obviously, meditation, music, and literature that inspires you. Even inspirational movies can be a way to connect with the heart of this energy. And this heartfelt energy must be connected to your action plan for the year. You know, it makes no sense in my mind to be just in your head thinking of all the things you're going to accomplish, because if you just do that, you will be coming from cultural imprinting and parental, family, unconscious ideas of accomplishment that you took on a long, long time ago. And so this balancing between the agenda for accomplishment and heart nurturing personal balance and integrating this big picture of who you are as a soul and what you're here to do, that all needs to come together. And the planets are actually lined up right now to help you accomplish that. Additionally, as I've mentioned in the previous podcast, the whole year we have this a square, or, you know, kind of inner psychological stress energy between the Neptune that wants high frequency, unconditionally blissful spiritual states of awareness, and Jupiter in the sign of Sagittarius, which wants us to expand ourselves and act meaningfully according to beliefs that we hold, according to truth. So that also then gets pulled into what is this year about for you. And we're still very much in the first few weeks of the year of getting our bearings in new vibration that actually does sort of come to us every year with a turning of the calendar. And we'll also be coming soon to the Lunar New Year that other cultures other than our Western cultures will celebrate. And that, you know, we can look at that as another turning point. I say take advantage of all the turning points. You know, let yourself feel like you're in some kind of meaningful flow day to day. Now, as we begin this week, January 21st, we find that Mars in Aries is in a very tight square to Saturn in Capricorn. So this has been going on for a couple of weeks already. You may be feeling this, you know, within yourself. The likelihood is how it feels is that there is a part of you that is anxious to get going, to start something, to do what you want to do the way you want to do it. And then the Saturn is kind of holding that parental energy that says, well, hey, wait a minute, slow things down, really look at the long term. Is this actually workable? However, if you harness this energy, it's extremely potent. And it is very much a good time to be setting an agenda and launching whatever you wish to launch. Although I'll say in another couple of weeks when we have the next new moon, which will not be an eclipse, but will be a starting point. New moon every month is your ideal starting point. That will be the specific time to launch something, especially if it's particularly important and you want to get a good electional chart behind it. But certainly this week and next week, you can be doing your background work, figuring things out, setting agendas in whatever it is that you imagine that you're launching right now. I'll also point out that the planet Jupiter expansion, sometimes expansion is good luck and brings us opportunities, and sometimes expansion is like too much of something that's challenging. However, it is, Jupiter in Sag is in a trine with Mars in Aries. And today, Venus is also exactly conjunct to Jupiter. So relationship energies, the energy of attraction of people and money and all that we need to attract, is lined up. So on the fire level today, we have Venus in Sag conjunct Jupiter in Sag, trines to Mars, which is at 14 degrees Aries, and that trines to the moon, which right now, as I'm talking, is at 9 degrees Leo. And over the course of the day, that moon is going to move into an exact grand trine with very, very tight with Mars and Venus and Jupiter. And that's some pretty fiery, initiating, positive energy. It holds the creativity of the Leo. It holds the relationship structure that Venus brings in, the action of Mars, the expansion of Jupiter that also says, let's do something in alignment with beliefs. So just starting off the week here, January 21st, January 22nd, Monday and Tuesday, work with this energy, see what's coming in, see what is being offered to you, and then evoke the Capricorn, Saturn, Pluto in Capricorn, also Mercury is still in Capricorn for about 4 more days. Take this fire gift and see what's offered and start to stabilize it. Start to make the choices. Put some pieces in place. Now, what else is coming up? This going forward in the week. We go past that trine. That's great. And Venus will be exactly conjunct to the minute Jupiter. 5:25 a.m. tomorrow, but it's certainly close enough to be powerful around good luck and connections that you make that ultimately pay off into something. And then as the moon comes into Virgo, which it does tomorrow Tuesday in the evening, it will make a trine to Saturn. And that's also good. Now, I love moon in Virgo times because I don't have any earth in my chart. And I need that. I need all the earth I can get out in the sky. And I find that I can, get things done. I can be more detail-oriented. It's a great time for editing. And so keep that in mind that for the next couple of days, 22nd in the evening through to the 24th, early in the morning, we have a Virgo moon. So it's great for fixing things, problem solving. And its last aspect before it goes out of bounds will be a trine to Pluto. and think of Pluto as transformation and empowerment. So you got Virgo, you know, ever the really diligent problem solver, but Pluto will also be able to take you a little bit deeper. The moon then shifts into Libra on January 24th around 8 p.m. and stays until the 26th, again the evening, 9:21 p.m. And we come then to the end of the week with a Scorpio moon. And the Scorpio moon starts 11:30 p.m. on the 26th. And its last aspect is going to be sextile Pluto. So sextile is a very harmonious connection that has a little zip to it. Pluto and Scorpio get along very, very well. So if there's something in your mind that you're interested in that needs depth and intensity, investigation, exploration, intimacy, like I'm looking at that and thinking, I think that's actually the weekend time. 26, yes, 26 is Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say great time for sex if you're into that. So let's see, what else do you want to know? One of these episodes, as I get a little more comfortable with this technology, I'm going to open up my shows to have some callers and some questions. Right now, I'm just going to see if there's any other pieces that come to mind about the week, anything else you need to do, and then I'll lead us into our meditation. No, I think it's time for the meditation. So remember, if you're driving or using any heavy equipment, anything dangerous, you need to wait and listen to this meditation later when you're seated, sitting, lying down. That's one thing I'll say about meditation is that I feel that it's so important for people to meditate that if you found yourself put off by meditation because it was uncomfortable to sit cross-legged, don't do that. Sit comfortably. Find a comfortable chair. Lie down. It still works. And for this particular meditation, I feel like I'm going to lead you in a classic meditation to run energy and ground yourself. Because if you do that, from there I'll maybe add a little flourish about this beautiful grand trine we have right now in fire. But being grounded, being connected to the cosmic energies and the earth energies and running that energy correctly through your body is a great way to create healing and the ability to operate through this world in these times of radical change. So place your body in a comfortable position and begin to deepen the breath. Allow the breath to be just a little slower. Feel the movement of the breath in the low belly. Deep, rich, and full. And as you continue to breathe, imagine that you're outside in nature in a beautiful, peaceful location, feeling the ground beneath you, taking in the colors and shapes of whatever nature is there for you, your favorite nature, trees, flowers, water, rocks. Feel the air on your skin. Imagine a scent in the air. And as you breathe, take your attention to the top of your head, place of the crown chakra, like a swirling vortex over the top of your head. And let that part of you that can travel go way up past the clouds, past the first stars, going way, way out to the higher frequency stars, galaxies, dimensional fields. Imagine that at this level, you are connecting with your highest self, the highest beings that guide you, and literally the light of the cosmos. Imagine that you're bringing more of this energy down into your physical incarnation. It's coming down through the crown, swirling like a river around your spine, around the core of you in the center. Just breathing this light down, 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 coming down through the whole body. And then down your grounding cord, which drops down around the area of the tailbone, the sacrum. Let that energy swirl down along the grounding cord and also run down the legs, the feet, and down the foot chakras, which are like roots going down into the earth. As you feel those roots, all of them going deep down into the earth, you can think here of Capricorn energy. You know, creating physical manifestation in the real world, something solid, something lasting. Whatever that may be for you. As above, so below. Of the light created on the planetary field. And feel that light aligning around your roots and going deep into the center of the earth and anchoring. Draw light in at the center of the earth with your little roots and anchors. The light in the center of the earth can be any color. Choosing color or colors that appeal to you, draw that color up the roots and through the legs, spiraling through the spinal area. And rising up out the crown of the head and going up higher and higher, as high as you can possibly imagine. Maybe all the way up to the highest realms of the cosmos, so that you see yourself now exactly as this, you know, physical being with light streaming into you, all the spiritual light, power, co-creative ability, all that you are. Coming down through you, grounding into the earth, and coming up from the earth and filling you up. Breathe now into the heart and feel these two energies, earth and sky. Feel them blending at the heart level and spreading through the physical body like you're a balloon and you're filling yourself up down the arms to the fingertips. Torso, the head, the toes. As your body becomes filled with this vibrant high frequency energy, expand the energy out into the aura, a bubble of light, egg shaped, at least 3 feet around you, a meter. Around you. And then as that bubble of light becomes full, place a protection around that outside edge. Sparkly gold or silver or some metallic. Let that outside boundary be a couple of inches, about 5 centimeters. And feel the way that energy can protect you from negative energies absorbing in when you're least expecting it, but allow you to still give and take energy, that you can be connected with the world around you. As you come back to breathing in the heart, I bring you back to this grand trine in the astrology. Taking a moment here to imagine these powerful fire energies, Mars, the planet of action and will, Venus, love and attraction, relationship, Jupiter, truth and meaning, and the moon of the heart. Feel these energies circulating in a pyramid formation at your heart. Okay, they're a pyramid, a triangle. Just take a moment to feel that energy with all of its potential to initiate something, to be fiery, to have it be connected to balance in the heart. Feel that high frequency energy that's coming from the cosmos and know that as Neptune. Know that as Uranus, the planet of awakening, liberation. And then feel the Capricorn energy, transiting South Node, the Pluto and the Saturn, feel that energy attached to all your high frequency energy and ground deep down into the earth, planting seeds, building structures. If you want to spend more time in this meditation, you can pause the recording. If you feel ready to draw yourself back, come back, bringing this whole scene, all this energy you've cultivated, fully back into your body in the place that your physical body sits in this moment. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Fantastic. I'll see you next week. Thanks for joining me today. And remember, if you have a specific request for something you want me to talk about in this show, feel free to email me. You can do that from my website, ktaylor.com. You can go to the contact page and say, Kay, why don't you talk about this thing? I don't understand this thing. Because besides doing these shows about the weekly astrology, I'd like to do some shows that talk about a particular astrological thing that is not necessarily so time sensitive. So you have some interesting podcasts from time to time that you can come back to. Okay. Bye for now.